Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're the people dashboard company helping all of you HR and people leaders out there who are tired of the manual, time-consuming, and tedious process of, you guessed it, HR reporting. We know that when you want to do that reporting and understand all your data about your workforce, you're typically logging into all your different HR systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, benefit admin systems, all these systems to try to pull that data together through spreadsheets. And I know you're always thinking there has to be a better way. Well, there is. Look no further, because if you go to employeecycle.com, you can learn all about how our people dashboard has pre-built connectors to all of the most popular HR systems all of you are using. Systems like ADP, Namely, Zenefits, Greenhouse, 15.5, TriNet, Paylocity, you name it. All you need to do is connect your systems to our people dashboard. We pull in all your data automatically so that you can view, share, track, and analyze all that data together. Go to employeecycle.com to get a demo of our people dashboard, and we can show you how you can automate your HR reporting and analytics process. But that's enough about me and our product, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Amy Gigi. She's the Director of People and Culture at AVL Growth Partners. And today we're going to discuss, will remote work be a perk or the standard? Amy, welcome to the podcast. Amy, welcome.
Oh my gosh, this is great.
And we had to give Amy that huge round of applause because she is making her podcast debut on the Employee Cycle Podcast. And so she's going to shut down the internet, because this is amazing. It's our first podcast.
Yeah, we're going viral.
We are. So, Amy, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, that's a good one. I worked in nonprofits and wanted to really explore other opportunities out there. The best part I found in managing events and fundraising was really working with the volunteers and finding out what made each person tick and how you can plug them into the strategy of the company to help really maximize their interest. And so I went and got my master's in organizational development and, you know, was able to find a company that was, you know, had two full-time employees and needed everything under the sun done. And we had such a good time doing it together. And then once you know, there was an opportunity to specialize, I went and got my PHR and kind of grew into the HR function at AVL. So it's been really fun. I am an HR person raised by finance people. So it's a little different. You know, we talk a lot about numbers and data, like you are talking about at Employee Cycle. But I also have some, you know, influences of other HR people in the community just to make sure, you know, it's not all data. And it's a lot of people focused too.
Got it. I think you're the very first HR person that I've heard that say to make sure that it's not all data. I need to put some HR into my role.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So today we're discussing remote work, and we're talking about remote work being a perk, which prior to COVID, it was one of those things that people would say, oh, wow, you get to work from home? That's awesome. How does that work? And how do you like working from home? So now everyone who can work from home, pretty much working from home. And so the question is, moving forward, will this become the standard, or will people look at it as a perk that only certain companies have? And because, as you were explaining to me before we got started, that you're in heavy recruiting right now, I'm curious to know, are the expectations of most of your candidates to work remotely indefinitely? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, our team has always been remote. So the team members we work with are, you know, they're working with 5 to 7 different clients at any given time. And it doesn't make sense for them to be on site with the clients because it becomes difficult to juggle, you know, each client and give them the right attention when you're on site with one client. So our team members have really always been remote. Moving into COVID, we didn't skip a step because we're really comfortable with that and we're remoting into systems anyways. But I would say that I'm wondering, I'm very curious about what the shift is going to be like. And do CEOs really feel like they're in touch with what their team wants? And how are you opening up the questions to your team about, do you want to return in office? Do you want a mix? And how we're going to kind of go about doing that. I would say it was good for the internal team at AVL, the operations team, to be remote, because we got a really good picture of what it's like for our remote field team. We were typically, there's, you know, four of us who were in the office together, and it helped us realize how purposeful you have to be about your communication to your remote teams. But when you have a team that is partially in the office, partially remote, you just have to be really intentional about the time that you spend together, about how you make sure everybody is on the same page, rowing in the same direction. So when it comes to moving forward after COVID, you know, you may have a mixture of people who want to be in the office or people who want to be remote. And I think it will be the next hurdle for HR people is, how do you set a really good intentional strategy around managing those workforces? I saw an article that states are going to start going after individuals to incentivize them to move to their state versus companies. So it's such an interesting shift. And in our people ops group, we have a listserv in our state. There's a lot of people saying, oh, I've got, you know, these employees who are just up and moving because it's less expensive to live other places or something. And all of a sudden they're managing, you know, 5-6 states when before they were just managing one. So I think as employers, we're going to have to have an opinion and a strategy.
I heard a couple words that I want to focus on: strategy and intentionality. So I'll start with intentionality. What does that look like in regards to making sure that when you're working with a remote team, you're being intentional with your employees? And when it comes to being intentional, in which areas do you really need to be as intentional as possible?
That's a good question. So the first question is, what does it mean to be intentional?
Yes.
I think when you're calling me on site, if I need to be on site for a day, I would hope that there's a reason for it. So are we going to do a lunch together, even if it's just team building, or are we going to have a meeting? It doesn't make sense for me to drive, let's just say, an hour each way to come into the office, but be heads down and just have a little bit of water cooler banter. So being intentional about, hey, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, our teams are going to be in office. So we're going to schedule meetings together, or we're going to say, don't schedule any meetings on those days so that we can be prepared for just some really good interaction. Another way to look at it too is, you know, maybe you have a divide between your marketing and your operations team, and maybe you ask those teams to be on site on the same day, so you can hopefully create some camaraderie around that. So I think intentionality is just, why am I here? Is there a purpose behind it? Or am I just part of a group of people who doesn't like to work from home, which is fine too. I think that also, if you were to say, yeah, we're fine with work from home, but you don't really define what that means, and you don't say, I expect you to be on site this many days a week, just like, you know, the same problem you would have if you didn't define more specifically your unlimited vacation policy, you're going to have people who they don't know if they really feel comfortable working from home because they're not sure if that's actually allowed. So if you're going to include that as part of your strategy, I would suggest setting some sort of expectation or minimum and saying, you know, you guys work from home 2 to 3 days a week. And if you never want to work from home, here's the spaces that you occupy. You know, we have some spaces for you. Also intentional about, you know, please don't move the state without asking, because we do need to pre-approve that. So yeah, a purpose for coming on site. What was your second question? I'm sorry, I forgot it.
And you've already went to some of it, but it was around, what are the areas where you need to be the most intentional?
Yeah, I think it's just around timing and things like that. I think additionally, when you look at someone who maybe one of the issues that you have when you have a distributed workforce is you're not totally sure if, you know, someone's ready to be promoted, you need a way to kind of compare them against each other, and you need a way for team members to understand how they stack up against their peers. So I think performance management, communication becomes important. But also, you know, there are opportunities for people to mix some teams together so that, you know, again, if you have issues between ops and marketing or sales, they have some time to interact and to get to know each other's positions and jobs. And I think that's an opportunity for remote as well.
I'm glad you brought up specific roles like ops and sales and marketing, because I'm curious, do you think the perception of working remotely as a benefit or a perk versus being the standard has to do with the role that the person will be working in? So do you think if you're a salesperson that you probably or may more likely want to work in an office to be around other salespeople since the job can be so difficult versus another person who works more in a silo anyway and is heads down like a developer or a software engineer? Do you think the role dictates how the person will perceive, you know, working remotely as a perk or as the standard?
It's an interesting question. I think of my husband, who is in sales in a way, but he's an introvert and he likes to be home. And then someone who is heads down and has very little interaction with other people actually may need more interaction or stimulation outside of their home, depending on what that environment is. I think it depends a little bit more on the personality and of the person. Also directionally, I think for a sales team, yeah, it's nice to have everyone together for momentum and you can ring a gong or whatever it is that you do to celebrate wins, but you can also do that in a dashboard, you know, where you can see on Slack that someone just won a deal and you can congratulate that person. I think it depends on, you know, on the individuals, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because there's just not a broad stroke I think you can apply there.
Got it. And then the last question for you in regards to remote work being perceived or actually becoming a perk versus the standard is around how you're thinking about your own workforce being remote versus ever returning or being in an office again. Do you see any time in the future potentially having more operational or executive roles in an office together and then your team members that are more in the field to work from wherever they want? Or are you leaning more towards everyone being remote indefinitely?
I think that it will be, you know, the operation or executive team will likely be in the office 2 days a week. And then the field team is likely going to stay remote. We have an office available for people to come in if and when they want. But because that's how we operated pre-COVID, I don't see a lot of change coming. I think the biggest change will be for the operations team having a little bit more of a mixture versus the default is to be in office. You know, my biggest, for me, I'm learning how much I love working remotely. I get so much done. I feel like I'm more present for my family. I get to work out in the morning. So it's been a really good lifestyle shift for me. And I've found that, you know, it's also really important to people when they're trying to figure out their job. So I'm interviewing for recruiters and I've had three conversations now with people who just, you know, have said, I can't imagine ever going back into an office because I know how effective I am at home. And I think there will become these remote friendly employers and in-person employers, and people can start shifting their focus or their employer accordingly. I wonder if that will be kind of more of a trend where people are looking for one or the other.
It's going to be interesting when having an office becomes a perk, so that when you're actually applying for your job, they'll say, oh, by the way, we actually have an office.
Right.
And people get excited like, oh, you do? Oh, I have somewhere where I can work. Awesome. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out as well.
Yeah, it's a great point. And then I think co-working spaces, you know, are kind of interesting because they do offer some flexibility for people to, you know, maybe you have some of the workforce that's interested and some of it that's not. I definitely think it was a big change for the commercial real estate market, where these companies had just purchased really big offices and now you have half of your company who doesn't want to come back in. What do you do with all that space? So I will be really paying attention to what happens there. I think additionally, you know, maybe we're using more software to have conversations. Maybe there's a software that can help us. I think there are some that kind of can replace that water cooler talk or at least try to facilitate it a little bit more. But I think there's just the ability for us to, if you can work anywhere, to choose your location and to travel. I think it's going to be really hard to wind back the clock for employers who just want people on site. I think kind of the bell's been rung and it'll be about balance and for employers to figure out an intentional strategy around remote and in location or on site.
I definitely agree. And it's going to be really interesting to see what the future holds. But Amy, thank you so much for having such a fun and authentic conversation about this topic. This was really interesting. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will find value from it as well. And I just appreciate you for making your podcast debut on the Employee Cycle Podcast. So thank you so much for being here. Woo! Go
Amy! Totally painless. I really appreciate it. Thanks for getting me to do it.
Awesome. So Amy, where can people find you and ABL Growth Partners online?
Yeah, so we're at avlgrowth.com, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, L as in Larry, growth as in growing.com. Take a peek at the website and feel free to reach out if you're looking for a position or if you're interested in just kind of talking. I really enjoyed the conversation and I really like being, you know, in communication with other HR leaders. It's a blast. So thank you.
Of course. And we'll be sure to include all of your contact info in the show notes. So everyone listening out there, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Amy and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that you care and we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first interview that you're listening to Employee Cycle and you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.